It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Good to be here.
Hey, this week you want to talk about, I think you've kind of touched on this idea before, but you wanted to review it, and it's the provocative term, learning to like. Now, you're not talking about liking on Facebook or anything like that, are
no.
you? Okay.
No.
Something a little deeper.
Yeah, liking in marriage. And this is actually something that's really common. And I think that it was kind of more pronounced for me months ago, maybe quite a few months ago. Time flies. But working with married couples in difficult situations and you know, it just came to light, almost like an epiphany. It should have been obvious, but that this couple, they don't like each other. Mm. And I mean, it seems obvious they don't like each other. But just putting the words out there, they don't like each other. And they both, this couple that I'm thinking of, they just both embraced it immediately. That's right, we don't like each other.
Okay. And we love each other. We're committed. We've had children, but we don't like each other anymore.
Yeah, and I've been guilty of, and even lately, saying to people, you know, drawing a difference between loving and liking. But in recent study, I just wanted to clarify some things for people because, as I said, we've had a show on this before. And rather than replay that, you know, as you one thing about counseling is you're always learning. And so as I learn and new things come to light, it's good to maybe go over some of these topics again and sure. Kind of clarify some things that have become more clear for me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, learning to like. It just seems like one of those things married couples, if they get to that point, and I talk to people who have been married many years, 40 years, let's say, who, you know, haven't liked each other for a while. And, you know, you can say, well, start liking one another, but it isn't so easy. I wish we could just say, let's just pray for God to give you a new heart. And, you know, that prayer, God will answer that prayer. But it doesn't happen overnight. There's a process to it, and oftentimes people don't want to be in that process. So, is there a pathway to liking in the midst of dissatisfaction, disillusionment, disenchantment in a relationship? Can people's hearts be turned from disliking to liking? Mm. Why do we dislike? If someone is uncouth, like on a regular basis, uncouth, rude, inappropriate, we tend to dislike those behaviors. And if we can't separate the behavior from the person, then we start to believe that we dislike the person. And then it becomes a worse case of disliking the behavior because we dislike the person. But perhaps that's not necessary. It's possible to like a person and be annoyed by mannerisms, in which case if that mannerism is corrected, then that person, being with that person is delightful. I have a friend, I've had a friend for many years, a man who has a real rough edge to him, and he's doesn't have a lot of close friends because of this rough edge on his character. Mm. He can be grumpy, chip on his shoulder, negative, but I like the person. And so when we're talking, if he's having a particularly good day or something, I can tell immediately by his tone of voice and his optimism, I can tell immediately that he's kind of doing a little better. And it's a real joy to talk to him and have these conversations, whereas otherwise – you can only take so much. It's kind of a drudgery. And in that kind of a situation, which maybe if you're listening to the show, you know you have a friend like that or you have a relationship like that where you like the person, but there's things about their behaviors that you don't. Kindness is often generally present, I would say, in that situation. That is, I like the person and I treat the person kind, I'm polite to the person, even if he, this man that I was telling you about, even if he's grumpy and has his hard edge on, I'm courteous. And that kindness actually can work toward correcting his mannerism, like mm-hmm. a soft answer, turning away wrath. Mm-hmm. But the more difficult case, as I say, was that I find often in counseling is where one person dislikes the behavior of another person because they first disliked the person. And in that case, seems like no amount of change is going to be sufficient to heal the relationship. And so, in fact, we tend to look for things to dislike about the person that we
already dislike.
Mm-hmm. And to maybe justify the dislike. So there's no kindness in a situation like that. Mm. Even people pass on opportunities to be kind. When we're talking about being kind one to another, in the course of a day, there are so many opportunities to be kind to a spouse, ways of serving, help. But people pass on those simply because they decided they didn't like the person. Mm-hmm. So what is liking? And I'm using the word – I've used the word kindness here several times, and I want to talk about both kindness and liking. But what is liking? Why do we like someone? So – I want to talk about the two terms. I'm going to kind of bring these together, the terms liking and kindness. They're similar terms. And I love the English language. You know, I think we could learn a lot if we just understood our own language a little better. Over the centuries, sure. You know, terms have changed. We've done this with forgive and forget. Mm-hmm. Over the centuries, terms change their meaning. And so it's like we sometimes feel that language is inadequate to describe our emotions. Well, it's not perfect, but it's does a lot better job if we actually understand the terms. So I was looking at these terms like liking and kindness. So obviously the root words, like and kind. So if things are alike or if they are of the same kind, that's the idea that I'm looking at here. Mm. Liking, I think, is feeling that the other is in some way like myself. There's a likeness. Mm. And kindness is similar to that, treating someone as though we're the same kind. And so
you think that's the basis of those emotions?
Well, I think that it gets us. I think it gets us through a door of understanding.
We like someone because they're like us.
I think there's a likeness. I mean, if you just take the basic root of that, you know, obviously, if I like ice cream, that's going to stretch the point a bit.
Right.
But when we're talking about persons, I think, and the thing we like about persons. We're talking about commonality, whether it's and if you think of situations and where you feel a kindness towards someone and you feel that you like someone, it's easy to see that when you start embracing that. The person that you're meeting for the first time, let's say, person from another culture, and but something there's maybe sometimes there's almost an immediate or a very quick attachment or a bond, and that comes because there's a certain commonality, and there may be a lot of differences, language differences and cultural differences, but there's also a commonality, and that's the kind of the substance of the liking. That's the, let's call it the soil of the liking and the kindness. And we could now contrast that with judging, because when we judge other people, which is often what is happening when we're unkind and when we dislike a person, there's an element of judgment there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when we're judging something, someone, we assume that the other is different, not alike, but in significant ways that person is different. They're beneath us. They're a little odd. They're off kilter. The thing being judged is necessarily then essentially other than the thing doing the judging. For example, The example of the plumb line. The builder uses the plumb line to judge the door jamb and the windows and the structure of the building. Is it plumb? The plumb line is not the structure itself. It's mm-hmm. different. That's mm-hmm. how I can judge it by that. Another example that might come to mind is the judge setting in judgment over the prisoner. And there is the judge judges the prisoner and certainly doesn't think that the judgment that the judge passes on the prisoner has more to do with the prisoner living up to a standard that the judge already lives by.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that could be questioned.
or at least they're trying to stand in the place of this is the norms for society in mm-hmm. general, and you're not meeting them.
A judge can show compassion. And if he does show compassion, the word compassion has to do with being together in passion. So if a judge shows compassion on a prisoner, he's actually kind of embracing the idea that there's a likeness. We're in some ways of the same kind. This person is a person, not a throwaway, and can be helped. We're not that different. So compassion, even in judgment, has to do back with that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wanted to point out too here before the break that we often judge or dislike others because of personal fear and shame. That is probably the root of why we dislike. We've talked a lot about value, control, and power resources, the basis of our fear and shame, the basis of anger, anxiety, depression, and in marriage, in relationships, married relationships and other relationships, contention has to do with our own protecting our own self-interest. Mm-hmm. And that gets us back to fear and shame. So mm-hmm. when we come back from the break, I want to talk about a little bit more about loving, liking and loving, and pull in some scripture on this and talk about how and why. We want to like one another instead of
practical information this week on the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor. If people are going through issues in their own personal relationships, marital relationships, or others, they need help. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find many of these podcasts. Offices also, I should say, in Kirkland and Edmonds. Still doing a bit of Skype, too, for people that have to travel.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today, more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169. Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now, I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel is taking us through his understanding of how to learn to like and getting along with people, getting along in marriage, and some interesting observations he's made about this subject.
So in the first part of the show, we talked about what do we actually mean, or what could we mean when we talk about liking? What's the substance of liking? Not just a word or an emotion, but what is the substance of it? So again, if you missed that first part, you can catch it at the podcast at BibleBasedCounselor.com. So I want to talk a little bit about, what this, more of a biblical basis of this, these ideas. And, just knowing the meaning of the word doesn't put any onus on us for trying to like a person, a spouse, primarily talking about disliking a spouse. So, you know, now I want to talk about, well, what's the motivation? Why should I like? There's really no commandment in the Bible that says thou shalt like.
Right.
It says, you know, thou shalt love. Mm. So let's talk about liking and loving. At first, I want to start off by saying, being created, Scripture says in Genesis, God says that let us create man in our image and after our likeness, mm-hmm. after our likeness. And so we created after his likeness. If you've heard the first part of this program, it follows that being created in God's likeness qualifies mankind for a particular kind of intimacy with God. We are particularly liked by God. And we may particularly like God because we're in his likeness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may only occur in the English language as clear as that. But I think that there's a biblical principle there that's pretty clear. Mm. And God's loving kindness toward us is also a correlate of our being in his likeness and after his kind. When God's loving kindness, he treats us with loving kindness. And I believe this also has to do with the fact that we're in his likeness. In some way, we're his kind. I want to look into these a little bit into this scripture of loving, since we're trying to tie liking and loving together right here. Loving and the love that we're commanded to have is the agape love. It's similar to liking because it has to do with regard. It's reading from, if you're familiar with Kittle, is a study, a pretty high-powered study tool.
Kittle?
Kittle.
Never heard of it.
It's kind of like Strong's Concordance on steroids. It's
okay.
A lot of heavy heavy theologians will work with Kittle. It's a series of commentaries, which I happen to have. And quoting from Kittle on this, it's one little portion here. Hope it makes some sense. But for the authors of the Old Testament, the love of God is always a correlate of his personal nature, just as love for him, so love of God is a correlate of his personal nature, just as love for him is quite strictly love for his person, and only for his word or his law or his temple on the basis of love for his person. So when we're talking about we're talking, and this agape love has to do with regarding the person. My love for God regards his personhood. Without the personhood of God, it would be very difficult for us as persons to love. So created in God's likeness means we have personhood. Just as God is a person, we have personhood. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, in the Greek, when Jesus states this, he says heart, soul, mind, and strength. There are the four. And your neighbor in the manner of yourself. So love your Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor to love as yourself. This agape love, to respect, to honor, to esteem, it as with the love of reason, you get an image of someone in a third world country receiving a Bible for the first time, and you've seen these photographs how they grab the Bible and just clutch it to their chest. Mm-hmm. And it's an esteem for the Word of God. Mm-hmm. There's emotion there, but it's based in an esteem for this. So they agape the Word of God. They respect it. They esteem it. They honor it. In the Hebrew, it's heart, soul, strength. They leave out mind, and that's because probably in the Hebrew, the soul and the mind are sure. Not separate. So in the Greek, they like to separate things out. The idea here is not that we can take these four words and have four different sermons, one on the heart, one on the soul, one on the mind, one on the strength. But what it's actually saying is the totality of you. Love God with your wholeness, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So if I'm loving God with my wholeness— with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. How then should I love my neighbor? How should I agape my neighbor or agape my spouse? Well, the same way you do yourself, you know, in the manner that you care for yourself, care for the other. What are we doing here? Well, we're affirming personhood. When I love God, when I esteem God, I'm affirming God's personhood, and being in his likeness, I'm affirming my personhood. When I love my wife and I esteem her, and conversely, we are affirming one another's personhood. So let's move on. So personhood is the basis of this.
Okay.
It is about our personhood. When I dislike a person, I am rejecting their personhood. And I think this is one of the things that married couples have to first pay attention to. We have to see that that person that I'm choosing to dislike or that I'm choosing to like, it's not just that physical shell there. There's a spirit. There's a personhood. There's a person in there, and that's the image of God, that personhood. And so what right do I have to choose to dislike? I can only dislike the person if I reject their personhood. So when I talk to people about liking, I'm talking to people about, or even forgiving. We've talked about forgiving, and what are we really giving people sometimes when we forgive? Well, we're giving them personhood. We're giving them our person, and we're affirming their personhood.
Mm-hmm.
Liking is learning to like, then, is a being obedient. If you love me, keep my commandments. And of course, we know the commandment of Jesus is asked, what are the important commandments? And he basically says that the law is summed up in these two: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second law, love your neighbors yourself. It's the same love, the same agape love. And again, it's based in personhood. We don't like another person the same way we like ice cream or the weather, or we like the other person in that we affirm our personhood. And this is an important part of being a child of God, because personhood, that humanness, this is the part that is in the that reflects the image of God. Not to drag that on, that's a deep topic, and I don't have time to go in that direction, but I hope I'm making that part clear. So being obedient, learning to like also is, as I say, affirming the personhood of God and of my fellow man. It's the Christ-likeness. So let me just step here forward. I'm going to talk about four. Now, these are not exhaustive, and they may seem like they're easy to say but difficult to do. So I hope that you've heard the first part of this, talking about what we actually mean by kindness and why we have an obligation or to be kind and like one another. So let me just review those just quickly. Steps toward learning to like. The priority is my love for God. If I can't focus on that, if I don't get that part right, I'm not going to get the rest of it right. So if people we're going to turn this around and we're going to start liking one another, the first step is really cultivating and continuing to cultivate that love for God through heart, soul, and strength, recognizing how that other, the humanness, the personhood in the other person, looking at the other person and not objectifying them or judging them, but looking at them as we are alike, we are the same kind. And then thirdly, to express kindness, to express, you're not going to have an emotion of kindness unless you express it. So a lot of times you can't wait for the emotion to have the behavior. And then fourthly, find your mission. What is your mission? What are husband and wife supposed to be doing in the body of Christ together? Again, a lot of times when we don't have a mission, that's when we start quarreling and getting off task, and things spiral down.
Mm-hmm. Okay, learning to like, the subject this week. If you need some help in your relationships and you're intrigued by Daniel's approach, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The number, 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Also, people can email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you find these podcasts and many more. Office is Kirkland Edmonds, and I'm doing Skype at the same time.
Online counseling as well. Always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.